Welcome to the second disc of our recording with John Reese. We've got lots of great stuff to cover in this one. We're going to start right off talking with John about his Traffic Secrets launch and how he worked with his many joint venture partners, including how he got them to get people on his pre-notification list, how he got them to bundle a lot of extra bonus features, and a whole lot more. So let's get right to it.
So with your partners, did you, one of the things that I think helped you, probably had to help you, certainly helped create the buzz, is that a lot of your partners started to put together their own bonus packages. So if you buy it through my affiliate link, you're going to get all these extra bonuses. And is that something that you...
Actually, there was a big step before that, if you want me to talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
The PDF that got circulated. I created this PDF, and I actually sent it to my own list. And it was because I was due to write a newsletter, but the PDF newsletter turned into basically this huge warm-up to Traffic Secrets. And so this PDF had some really good content. It had this brain dump exercise in it that I was teaching, and I was teaching also about niche products and other things. So the PDF had really good content in it. And at the very end, it said, by the way, you know, I'm getting ready to release in a couple of weeks, finally, Traffic Secrets, and here's a photo of the product, the first official product photo. It showed all the stuff all laid out. Mm-hmm. And then it asked them if they were interested to go get on a pre-notification list and was talking about the scarcity of it and everything. Well, I let people brand that, my affiliates, and mail it out to their lists. So what it did was it warmed up their lists to me. And because it was such good content, and they were getting good content for free, it gave many people the whole mindset of, wow, this guy, you know, has a lot to teach me. I would like to learn more. And now that I see he has a product coming out, I'm possibly interested in buying it. So that was a big part of the strategy as well, giving really good content right before the launch to let partners mail to their lists that was offered by me. So it's not enough for them to say, hey, go buy this guy John Reese's product. He really knows what he's doing, and it's a really good product. I've seen it. It's more like, here's some information I wanted to share with you that was written by this person. I think you'll benefit from it because I benefited from it. And so it's a totally different play there. It's not just it's not just the pre-sell setup pitch. It's more like here let him prove that he's, you know, worth his salt.
Right.
And get you interested, warm you to this person. So then when the launch comes and I mail you again and I offer you bonuses or just tell you about the offer again and give you the link, you know, then they'll know. And many of them got on the pre-notification list, and they were cookied for that affiliate. And then, of course, I drove them back personally when I mailed the notification list to the site.
That's great.
But it got reinforced also when they mailed their list again, saying, you know, last week I sent you this report from this guy. He came out with his product. You should definitely check it out, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, so it's like, you remember that guy you got this great content from a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, you got this report from this John Reese guy, and, you know, he gave us great content, and oh, by the way, here, you know, here's this launch, and I put together this fantastic bonus package for you.
And by the way, how is the social proof effect of many of the top players in my market before my product launch giving out content to their list that's written by me? That is some powerful social proof. You have all these authoritative figures in the market.
Yep.
Recommending,
every single one of them.
Sending, you know, something that I wrote, content I created, to their list. So all these people are saying, this guy wrote this thing that's so good, I want you to see it. And so a bunch of people were doing this. Stephen Pierce, you know, Armand, all these people were sending this out. So, I mean, that has a very, very powerful effect as far as getting the entire market warmed up to my name, because many people didn't even know who I was at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So that went even farther to set the groundwork before the launch day when all the affiliate emails went flying.
Yeah.
A lot of the market was already warmed up because of the PDF.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just the buzz, you know, in the couple of weeks leading up to it was just enormous.
Yeah, it was deafening.
And it's just enormous. And, you know, one thing that helped you is this is such a interconnected and such incestuous market, the internet marketing stuff, where everyone's watching each other and talking about it on the boards, on the bulletin boards, and everyone subscribes to multiple lists. So, I mean, that helped you some, but all these principles could easily apply to any other market.
Right.
I mean, it's, you know, like you said, you've used it in other markets. I've certainly used it in other markets. And, you know, it's just the idea of the social proof. It's just so powerful. And, yeah, you just brought it off. So back to my question about did you, the bonus packages, was that just sort of a case of escalation where one person started doing it and everyone started trying to beat everyone else? Or did you sort of drop a few hints that maybe they might want to do that? Or
yeah, you know, I told people that they could, and then I went back to them again, calling social proof, you know, saying, hey, a lot of people are offering some really amazing bonuses. You know, you probably want to offer more amazing bonuses.
Yep.
And then it became this war to see who could offer, you know, $10,000 worth of stuff for someone that bought the $1,000 product through them.
Yeah, that was amazing. And then, so you had your buzz going, you had the partners going. You did have some little bit of, there wasn't that much scarcity built in, if I recall. But you did have some scarcity going on there.
With which for, the traffic
for secrets? Traffic secrets.
Yeah, well, the scarcity was that I was thinking about that I kind of was remorseful about putting certain strategies in the initial version of the product, and that some things I wished I hadn't shared, and that was actually true. There were some things I was like, well, I don't want everyone knowing this, mm-hmm. and so I mentioned that. You know, if you are one of the first, you know, few people to get the course while it's in stock, you will be guaranteed to get an initial, you know, the A version, version one, that contains these strategies I'm thinking about, you know, taking out of future versions. So nobody wanted to miss out on whatever the heck that was, even though they didn't know what that was.
Right.
And I got a lot of people emailing me saying, oh, you know, I'm putting in my order, but I want to make sure I get the first version.
Yep.
So there's a number of different ways you can do scarcity besides, you know, dates or limited number of products. And that's another way of alluding to scarcity.
Mm-hmm. Because you got everyone to jump that first day. I mean, that was, well, not obviously not everyone, but you got a lot of people, you know, approximately 1,000 people.
Yeah, it was insane. It did about, I don't have the report in front of me, but just from remembering what it was, I think it did almost close to $250,000 in the first hour. And then the sales were just, they didn't obviously sustain that, but they just probably did about $80,000 an hour and just to sustain that for, you know, a long time. The $1 million mark broke right at about 18 hours.
Wow.
I think it was like 4 o'clock in the morning or something when it happened because it had launched at 9 o'clock.
And, well, I remember, I think I was on an instant messaging session with, I was with you a little bit during the day, but when guys hit that mark. And
we were at my parents' house because that hurricane hit Florida like 2 days before and killed my power. So I had to drive an hour and a half north to my parents' house just to launch the product because I had no internet access.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and it was funny, we were both talking about it as we walked up the driveway to my parents' house. We're like, I bet it just broke the million. And so I'll never forget, both walked into my dad's office where we were kind of setting up home base with all our computers, and we both pushed the refresh button together at the same time, like we both put our finger on it, and there it came. It had exactly broken it, literally, you know, a couple of minutes before we had gotten in there. That was a pretty thrilling feeling. It was pretty cool.
Oh, I imagine. Yeah, I mean, I was thrilled when
we yelled and we woke up the whole house and everybody came out and hugged and celebrated, and it was a good time. It was a fun milestone to break.
Yeah. Now, one thing I haven't mentioned to people in the workshop yet, but I will be, is the whole idea of merchant accounts and getting your money. And so, did you get a call that day from a vice president somewhere, or had you prepped them ahead of time? Did you run into problems with your merchant account?
Yep. Yeah, you know what? I actually did run into some problems. And here's what this tells you about merchant accounts and how you can never take anything for granted. I had been doing business with, you know, the bank that I had used for the merchant account processing for, and they're one of the largest in the U.S., for, gosh, 8 or 9 years, you know, of doing stuff online and doing quite a bit of volume on a year-by-year basis. And I contacted them before the launch day just to let them know of a possible spike in volume on the one day, because obviously I'd never come close to doing that in one day.
Yep.
You know, I'd done a couple $100,000 days, but you know, never doing that kind of volume. And, you know, they said, oh, you know, it's not going to be a problem. Of course, I didn't know it was going to do a million, but I told them it was just going to be a big day. And sure enough, as soon as it happened, you know, they panicked.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, they released a lot of the money right away, and then they held some, and they set up a little reserve for some. But if you do big volume on one day, you just have to know it's part of the business that they may hold some of your funds for a little while until they,
yep.
You know, my bank, you know, they wanted to call some of my customers at random and make sure that they ordered this product and,
mm-hmm.
you know, make sure it wasn't fraudulent. And then, of course, they were concerned, you know, a little bit about, you know, how long the refund period was and everything else.
Yep.
You know, as most people notice, if they look at my products, at least the ones that I've made public that they can go and look at, you know, a lot of people, especially in the marketing market, a lot of people are using like one-year guarantees, you know, or even lifetime guarantees, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Merchant accounts hate that.
Yep.
In fact, many of them, if they know, they won't allow you to process with them if you offer anything more than 90 days. Some of them are even 30 days now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I pretty much do 90 days on all my stuff because my bank is cool with that. But that's about it. If I tried offering more than that, they would just panic because, you know, that's a chargeback could still come in,
yep.
You know, up to 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyways, something for people to think about. You don't want to use too long of a money-back guarantee period.
Yep. I mean, that completely mirrors my experiences with them. You know, exact same thing. You know, they just, if they see a volume jump, they'll freak out, and you have to plan for that. And where someone could potentially get in trouble is if you do one of these big launches that's coordinated with a lot of partners. Say you go and you're a mere mortal, and you have a $100,000 day, and you owe $50,000 to your
right.
affiliates, and you know, the bank ends up holding back, you know, $60,000 of that for 90 days. And, you know, you need to pay your partners, but you can't because the bank's not giving you their money. And so it's something, you know, like I said, I've been through it enough where I'm going to cover it in another call as well, but it's something that you have to, in addition to all the, you know, the great moment you had when you check your stats and the anticipation and the planning and the salesmanship and the sales copy, you also have to take care of the details. And, you know, getting paid is one of those details.
Yeah, you know who's surprisingly well, actually, with big volume fast was PayPal.
I remember you telling me that.
Because I did all my workshop payments through PayPal. And just because I didn't want to mess with getting a high ticket approved and stuff for my regular merchant account. Because up until that time, the most expensive thing I sold through that merchant account was like
$100.
Yep. So,
yeah, like $4,500.
Yeah, $4,500. I didn't want them freaking out.
Yep.
So I did all through PayPal. I did PayPal and took checks. I never had any problems whatsoever with PayPal.
They didn't freeze you?
They didn't freeze me. In fact, they contacted me and said, due to your increased volume, we're assigning you a special rep, Mary such and such. If you ever need anything, please call her. And she would email the follow-up to see if I need anything. Or they were great. And I know other people that have used PayPal. You know, Frank Kern has done quite a bit of volume with them. In short periods of time and haven't really had many problems.
Well,
I know other people that have had temporary freezes, but it's usually taken care of pretty quickly if you know, if you're doing things properly and you have all your ducks in a row with documentation and everything.
Yeah. And I know before my last launch, you told me to make sure I offered PayPal as an option because I never had before. I just, you know, done a standard Visa, MasterCard, Amex. yep. Discover. And so you told me to give it as an option. And sure enough, you know, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7% of the folks used it. And, you know, I'm in a market, that was in a market of traders who I wouldn't think are as up on PayPal as, say, like right. the internet marketing world. But it's not.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because of, you know, obviously eBay owns PayPal now, and because of how PayPal took off because of eBay and how big eBay even is, you know, a lot of people have PayPal accounts online. I don't know how many it is, like 100 million people now or something ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But people see PayPal as like funny money, you know, it's almost like monopoly money.
Yep.
It's like credits in the account. It's almost like real, you know, it's almost like not like real money.
Right.
And I find from my testing that it seems like you get quite a boost in your overall conversion of selling something by offering PayPal as an additional option because there are a good percentage of people that have that money in their PayPal account, whether they were an affiliate and they earned cash or whether they sold something they own on eBay, whatever the case is, that makes it them less likely to resist if they can use PayPal to buy the product.
Mm-hmm.
So I suggest everyone take PayPal for their stuff.
And plus, you're not stressed. It takes some stress off your merchant account, too.
It does.
You know, I did 110 in my last launch, and I think, you know, whatever, 8 or 9 or 10,000 of that was through PayPal, so that didn't go through my merchant account. It didn't count against my cap. And so, I mean, it was just nice from that aspect.
Yeah, it's always good to have cash flow coming from more than one place.
Yep.
Because, again, if somebody shuts down the merchant account, at least you have some cash coming in.
Mm-hmm.
It may only be 10% of your total sales, but at least you got something.
So, John, after Traffic Secrets launch, you did a good job of keeping momentum going. I think you sent them additional surprise bonuses. Your product had a lot of thud factor, which is something I haven't talked about in these calls at all, but you had great thud factor. You had a huge package, and that really hadn't been done very often in this market. Then you gave them additional stuff after, you know, unadvertised bonuses, extra DVDs.
Yeah, they just got another one this week, actually.
Really?
Which is pretty kind of the final one for the Traffic Secrets folks. Yeah, 6 months after the launch, sent them three additional DVDs. And people are just thrilled over it. They love it.
Mm-hmm. And so that's just, I mean, in addition to just, you know, going along with your philosophy of delivering value, I mean, that's helping, that's making people stick. It's making sure they don't go sell it on eBay. It's and it's setting up your next product, right? I mean,
absolutely. It's never a bad thing to really just treat people really well.
Yep. And we've seen how, you know, we've personally seen how going the other way and not treating people well tears your business down in a heartbeat.
The bridge burners that end up on an island by themselves.
Right.
Very unhappy.
So tell me about your Reese Report launch, because that was another spectacular launch you've done, which I don't think you've ever talked about publicly, so I'd like to get some more on that one.
Yeah, well, I had the idea, I wanted to have some kind of ongoing thing where I could share some really good tips and strategies, but that they wouldn't be public in my free newsletter, and so I said, oh, you know, I'll do a paid newsletter. And so I decided to do a physical newsletter that gets mailed every month, a printed newsletter, 20 pages, and then it also has a companion CD-ROM that reinforces what's talked about in the newsletter that shows examples on the computer screen and me talking about stuff. But yeah, my launch for that, I basically, you know, told my list that I was going to do it, got the, you know, it wasn't as orchestrated as the Traffic Secrets launch, obviously, because I didn't do it with partners, I did it to my own list. So I basically told people about it and then shortly thereafter released a sales letter for it. And there was some scarcity involved in it as far as anyone that joined it. You know, from the first launch window, they would, you know, kind of get grandfathered in for the price. If I ever raised the price, mm-hmm. they would get the old price. Plus also the fact that I could cut off membership at any time. But, yeah, I mean, it was pretty much done in a very similar way as the other stuff. I'll be the first to admit I was actually even kind of lazy in how I launched it. You know, I could have done it a lot differently and put more into the launch plan. But it was still incredibly successful. So,
yeah. And part of it, you had so much momentum built already, and you had such a rapport with your list. I don't know that you had to do that much more. And people, you know, when you said that, you know, when you told them we'd grandfather you in and you told them I might stop accepting people, well, they'd already seen, you'd already trained your list that, you know, they saw your workshop sell out.
You know? Right.
You told them that was going to sell out, and it sold out. And with Traffic Secrets, I think there were bonuses that went away if they missed them right in the beginning.
Right.
And so you had them trained, and it makes it so much easier then.
Yeah, it does, absolutely. And, you know, and the other thing that goes in with the process is kind of being consistent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you say, you know, you better hurry, this is going to sell out and you're going to miss out, and if you never, you know, pull an offer because it sells out, doesn't mean you have to do every one that way, but if you don't at least do some, then you just saying, oh, it's going to sell out, I'm going to pull the offer, you're going to miss out, they know that you're not being truthful.
Right.
You know? And I was very careful not to do that with the newsletter because, one, I didn't know how many people were going to sign up, and, two, I wanted to build a membership base over the long term. So it's not like I was going to be like, okay, sign up this week. If you don't get you don't get in, I'm never letting anyone else in. I mean, I'm not stupid. I'm trying to build a business, you know. So I want to get more of my future customers, give them the opportunity to get access to this resource. So I didn't put a hard number on it. Many people ask me, why didn't you put a hard number on it? And you know, it's just a business strategy reason, because I hope to eventually build the membership base, you know, to a pretty good sized number, and I wasn't confident that I could do that, you know, in a 2-week window of just saying come one, come all.
Right.
You don't sign up in 2 weeks, it's being pulled forever.
You know, you don't always have to give that number. In fact, I remember well some of the conversations that you and I had before the workshop, and you're like, okay, do we put a number on it? You know, if we put a number on it, that limits what we can do. And you never did put a number on
it. No, I never did.
But you sure, you left people with the impression that there was a number. And I think it was brilliant the way you played that one out.
Yeah, I mean, that just goes with the marketing. You know, that just, you position it in such a way that they feel like there's only 5 slots,
mm-hmm.
you know, or 10 slots, or whatever. All they know is they don't want to miss out, and that's the point. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if it's going to be 1,000 people there. If they're the 1,001 person to sign up, they're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. And the truth is you did turn – I know you – there were people that were not let in.
Yeah, many on the application basis and many others because it filled up.
And what,
the funny thing I did in that one was when remember when I pulled the sales letter?
Yes, I remember that.
That was a pretty good one.
That took this nice little fire that was going and blew it up into like this monster forest fire overnight.
Well, yeah, what I did was when it launched, a good number of people signed up. Probably about half of what ended up at the event, you know, because seminars are different. You know, some people, and because this was being promoted a couple months out of when the date was,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people make their minds up to go to seminars at the very last minute. So after the launch that you helped me do, turning into an event, a bunch of people signed up right away. But at the end of the first day, when the numbers start slowing down of people signing up, it was probably about half of what, you know, the target number was. You know, so I think I ended up with about 120 at the event.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at the end of the first day it was like 67 or something. I remember telling you about it because you mm-hmm. were asking for updates. And I was like, well, it's starting to slow down. And I was like, well, to build the buzz back up, you know, I'm going to take the sales letter down and basically load a page that says, we're not taking any more applications at this time because we need to see how many people have signed up and see how much room is left. And then what I did was, and it's so many people have copied off this now, that whole pre-notification thing.
Mm-hmm.
What I did was I put an opt-in form on there and basically said, you can join the waiting list. you can join this notification list to be notified if any seats, you know, if we do have more room and when we do go to release them. So I basically set people up for another event, the re-release of the letter. Mm-hmm. And so what I did was, actually, you know, a lot of this stuff just evolves as it happens.
Right.
I just get ideas. So what I did was, so then I had a whole bunch of people opt in for the waiting list. So, you know, basically people that said, I want to go to the event, but I missed out and didn't sign up before you pulled the sales letter. So what I did was I went down the list and emailed them, and I basically said, because I said on that page that I said, you know, if there are seats available, they will be given out on the order in which people opt into this list, which adds even more, you know, fuel to the fire for people to get on that list as quick as possible. So I went down the list, if you remember, and I basically told people, and I did. I went one by one. I basically told people, I have some spots left for the seminar. You're currently on the clock, so to speak, if you want to go. You have 24 hours to get your seat. If you don't, it could be given to someone else. And so I did it that way, and I converted, I think, about 35 to 40% of the people that joined that opt-in list.
They had a $4,500 price ticket.
At a $4,500 price, they bought their seats.
Yeah. And that's, you know.
And then
also,
with the few seats I had left, I mailed my list again. I said, I have a few seats left. Here's what I'm going to do. Tuesday at noon Eastern, I'm going to open the sales letter back up again. Come one, come all, for anybody that wants to go. But once they're gone, they're gone. I will pull the website. And see, now, because of the consistent behavior, everyone saw me pull the website before. And, of course, the ones that didn't go to the site and see it pulled, they knew I pulled it because I emailed my list and told them, by the way, if you go to this link right now, you will see something different than you saw earlier. And many people went just to look because I looked at my stats.
Mm-hmm.
And they saw that I had pulled it and had that form up there.
And plus, everyone was talking about it on the boards.
Right. So I positioned it for a second launch. So on that second launch, I got a whole bunch of people to go back. You know, this was like a week or two later, even after things cooled off. I got a second wave of folks. You know, I think I got about 30 sales maybe on that second launch.
Mm-hmm.
Again, $4,500 product, though.
Mm-hmm.
So there are ways to do it in multiple stages like that with more than one launch.
Yep. Yeah. The numbers that you did, so you sold 450,000 approximately or a little more. From your list, it was not a big list. I mean, I don't know if you want to share it, but I know the number of people you had in your list. And
yeah, it was 3,000.
Yeah.
And that was a free newsletter that I had never sold anything to.
That's just a stunning number, because that's the number I like to watch is how many dollars you make per email address in the list.
Yeah, Paul Myers said he'd never heard of such a thing.
Oh, no. In fact, I was just mentioning someone else that's on the call here. I just said I did a launch where I pulled in $43 per name on the list, and that I thought was really good. In fact, I talked to Paul Myers, and he said that was the best he'd ever heard. And then you went and did, you know, what, $150 per name on the list. It's just an unbelievable number. Hard to believe.
You know, and of course, a lot of those people are very qualified, though, which needs to be mentioned.
Right.
You know, I had met many of those people at seminars, so they were more likely to buy a seminar.
Yep.
A product.
Yep.
So, you know, that has to be mentioned. But yeah, I mean, it was very successful, though, the marketing was.
Yep.
But that list, aside from people that I met at seminars, many of the other people that I didn't meet that still end up going to the workshop and buying that $4,500 product, they bought it because I gave and gave and gave. I gave great content on that list over and over and over. And I guess the mindset is, you know, if I'm getting this for free, gosh, I wonder what this guy will give me if I actually pay him my money.
That's a wonderful business model.
It is.
And people don't appreciate that. Everyone's after the quick buck. And even like, you know, with my site, Six Figures in 7 Days, you know, they get to it and they think, I want to pull that site down to tell you the truth because I don't like the impression it gives. It gives the impression that I'm all about quick bucks and get rich quick. And I am the absolute opposite. I'm like, get rich slow. In fact, I think I do it too slow a lot of times. But if you just give good content and you consistently give that, then, you know, when you ask people for money, they'll just throw it at you.
Yeah, I mean, you have to build that relationship with the people you're trying to sell.
Right.
You know, you have to give them good content. Yep, content. You have to warm them up. You have to, you know, tease them, give them, you know, little things, and then get them excited about desiring and really wanting whatever you're going to launch with your product launch.
Yep. And that's one thing that's different about the Internet. And this is like, I know you're a big fan of Dan Kennedy, and so am I. But he keeps on saying that the Internet's no different than any other marketing medium. And it's completely different because the cost structure is so different.
Not just that, it's interactive.
Exactly. And so you can build a relationship, and you can afford to send them stuff and engage in an interaction. Whereas, like, if you just, if it was an off-list, I'm sorry, you know, if it's like the, not the online world, whatever that's called, the real world, where you get a lead, you get a prospect, and you put them in your mailing sequence, and you send them 20 mailings over the next year, you know, it costs you money to do that. Every mailing you send out is costing you money, and you're not getting that feedback and interaction. But online, it's completely different. The cost structure and the interaction completely changes the equation. And a lot of people don't get that, but, you know, obviously you do, that you can just afford to, you can afford to take the time and publish on a consistent basis, and then interaction, then the people are telling you what they want. And so you give them what they want, and it's just like, you know, shooting fish in a barrel.
Yep.
So I want to talk about your Traffic Secrets relaunch. How did you do that? How did you put together a relaunch?
Well, the event part of it was just giving my affiliates, you know, a chance to promote it with a bang again, all on the same date. And, you know, the promise for me was the site's going to come down temporarily, and this new version of the site, which I'll talk about in a minute, won't be online until a certain time and date. And so it basically gave all the affiliates a chance to be on fair ground and promote at the same time, but also to make it an event so everyone hammered their list at the same time. But the reason for the relaunch was based on reason why, like we talked about reason why marketing. The reason why of the relaunch was basically 6 months ago, you know, the market was bombarded with, you know, promotions for this product, Traffic Secrets. A lot of people bought it, obviously, as it did, you know, that $1 million day. But a lot of other people did not buy it because they were skeptical. No one knew who I was. No one knew if the product was a piece of crap. No one knew if it worked, you know, and so forth. And what I had done was I had accumulated and built up and documented tons of success stories from some of my most successful, hardworking customers that bought the course and applied it to their business, you know, and got results. And so the reason why was, you know, that whole 6 months ago you heard about this and you may have been skeptical, but the proof is in the pudding. Here's tons of success stories, over 100 of people that bought the product, you know, during the last several months, and here's what they did with it. And so that's basically what the product relaunch was based around, the proof that it works, which is the most powerful thing you could actually have in marketing.
Mm-hmm. And how? Tell us a little bit about how you collected those testimonials, if you're willing to.
Sure. Do you know how I got them?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Stinker. Well, I actually, man, you're just making me give all kinds of stuff up in this call.
That's my job.
I actually came up with this little, it was just an idea I had, just my weird brain works sometimes. And I came up with this, basically this web-based form that I would ask people to go and fill out. To give me their feedback or their testimonial on the product. And, you know, it took a lot of thought, but then when I thought of the idea, I was like, wow, this is pretty good stuff. I'm surprised I haven't seen anyone do something like this before. It makes perfect sense. So in most cases, people ask, you know, their customers to give them feedback or give them a testimonial if they've had success, and they just leave it up to the customer to basically come up with their own words or whatever they're going to say about it. But I wanted to basically take them by the hand and ask them specific questions that I would like the answers to that would really bring home the benefits of the product. So I there were a couple parts to this. One part is I basically ethically bribed them to give me their testimonial, no matter how good it was or how bad it was or if they hated the product. And I promised that anyone that gave me their feedback and shared with me any result they had, even if they, you know, got one visitor, period, and, you know, wanted to return the product, that they would get access to a private teleseminar call. I actually ended up doing it yesterday. It was on traffic conversion. So that was kind of the bribe to get them just to go and take their time to fill out this form. So that was step one, is just to kind of give them an incentive to do it. You know, it wasn't, but to clarify that, it wasn't paying them for a testimonial or giving them something to, you know, I mean, that's pretty much illegal.
Mm-hmm.
But anyone that would really give me their feedback, and of course, obviously what happened from that was people gave me their testimonials. They were glad to go and share their results. And so this form that I sent them to, you know, asked them, have you had any increase in your traffic from applying Traffic Secrets? You know, if so, if you don't mind mentioning how many, you know, what kind of visitor increase have you had? Has it increased your sales? If so, by how much, if you don't mind? You know, everything was like an optional space. Mm-hmm. They could say as little or as much as they wanted. And then I just asked them, you know, what did you get out of Traffic Secrets, and do you recommend Traffic Secrets and learning from John Reese to other people? And then, I think there's one that actually asked, what do you think about Traffic Secrets? And the other one said something about, you know, would you recommend it? And what did you think about, you know, learning from John and from the course?
Mm-hmm.
And so by asking them specific questions, it made it very easy for them to answer them, but also at the same time, you know, create something very powerful for me, because it was specific benefits related to what they got out of the product, which is the best testimonial of all, something that's specific. So that's basically where I was able to, you know, not all of them were good. You know, I probably got about, 300 to 400 when it was all said and done, I think, because they kept coming in even after the relaunch. People kept submitting them. So I got quite a few. And again, not all of them were great. A couple of them were, you know, just actually they were pretty bad. As far as, you know, I haven't done anything with the course.
Right.
It's sitting on my shelf, but it looks pretty. Thanks. I suggested to other people that would like a nice bookend for their bookcase. But a lot of gems came out of it. You know, a lot of great success stories that I never even fathomed were out there.
Wow.
And it was a real eye-opener, and it was very exciting and very encouraging just to see all these people saying how it changed their life and how it really benefited their business. It was pretty cool. So I was like, wow, I got to do more of this with any product I ever create.
Well, it's almost like you put them in a straitjacket and made them, I mean, you didn't make them fill it out, but if they were going through it, you made them give you everything that was part of a good testimonial.
Sure. I mean, and again, everything comes back to marketing fundamentals. That's why, like, people are like, you know, gosh, how is it so easy for you just to produce all these, you know, this mountain of money, somebody was calling me the Midas man or whatever, saying I had the golden touch. Every time I do something, it's successful. And I said, you know what? It comes from obviously a lot of hard work and a lot of study, but it comes from applying simple fundamentals of marketing. And as far as this idea is concerned, it goes along with everything else. And I'll just, don't mean to sidebar here, but
okay,
just to share something real quick, people have to realize that when you sell anything to anyone or do anything for anyone, what people ultimately want when there's any kind of solution or product being sold, they ultimately want, if you were to analyze what they ultimately want you to do the work for them. If they want to lose weight, they want you to come over to their house and run on the treadmill. They want you to go on a diet, but they want the benefit of whatever it is. They want to still lose weight with you doing all the work. Well, obviously, in most cases, for most markets, you doing all the work isn't possible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the next best thing is, if you can't do the work for them, it's you telling them exactly what it is to do. And so that's the same psychology that goes along with this. I told them exactly what I wanted from them by asking them specific questions that I wanted them to answer. I didn't say, give me your feedback on what you thought of the product. I asked them specific questions. How much traffic did you get from it? How much sales did you get from it? What did you? Then of course, I asked them open-ended questions if they wanted to write more. What did you think about it, and would you recommend it to others? But I told them exactly what to do. Mm-hmm. People need to be told what to do. If you want the ultimate response, you have to lay things out for people in simple steps. If you want to get affiliate partners for your product launch, you got to tell them exactly what you expect them to do. If you want to make money from promoting my product, the first step is to send me your address where I can FedEx you a copy of the product. The second step is for you to give me any feedback you may have or any questions you may have on the product if you don't understand something. The third thing is you're going to get an affiliate launch promotion that has your ID in it. If you can't log into the management center and see that your account is active, you need to contact me right away. Otherwise, you may be promoting a dead link or there may be an error. On the launch day, 24 hours before the launch day anyways, you're going to receive promotional emails for you to send out. If you don't receive them, you need to contact me. When you do receive them, you copy and paste. Here's what you do, Control-C, then Control-V, and you paste it into an email message. Here are several selected headings. I mean, literally, tell people exactly what you want them to do. And if you can do any work for them, like, again, signing them up for an affiliate account and giving them their link rather than saying, go here and sign up to become an affiliate, do it for them. Remember, that's what people ultimately want. That's what you have to remember. That you to do the work for them as much as possible. And if there's anything you can't do for them, then tell them exactly what to do. That's a $10 million marketing lesson right there.
Right.
Common sense, but that's very, very powerful stuff.
Yeah, it's common sense, but it's really easy to drop the ball on that stuff.
So that's how I applied it to testimonials, is I basically told them what to do.
That's cool.
And it worked like crazy.
Yeah. John, one more question I wanted to ask you, and then it's okay if we open it up and see if there's any people still listening. Okay. Can you talk a little bit about sublisting? Because I know you've done that quite a bit.
About what?
About sublisting, like creating, sublists, like before your launches.
Like notification lists, that kind of stuff?
Exactly.
Well, yeah. Obviously in marketing, you want to try to qualify people, get them to raise their hand early. The people that raise their hand are going to be more up to buy. So along the process, you want to do things, and we're talking about product launches, during the warm-up phase for your pre-launch, before your launch, if you can try to create a sub-list of people that are more likely to buy, the more powerful it can be. If you can, deliver specific messages for those people. Like, for example, let's say you have an easing list or some kind of customer list, and you say, I'm coming out with this X product. It's going to have this, but it's going to be limited to, certain bonuses or even the course itself or even the teleseminar itself. It's going to have limits on it. So it's only going to be available on a first-come, first-served basis. If you're interested, you need to get on this, waiting list or pre-notification list or whatever you want to call it. If you'd like to learn more about this and be one of the first people to know when it becomes available. Now, you're certainly going to continue to contact your entire list, even for people that don't get on that special list. But the people that do, they're now more qualified. Now you can send specific messages to them before the launch. And basically, it just gives you more than one opportunity to hit them up with messages before the launch, because they're still on your normal list. They're going to get those regular ones, but they're also going to have that sense of elitism that they are on this special priority list and they are getting this other unique message that will be different only for those people on that list. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, very powerful. It's in multiple ways. One, because they feel like they're special by being on this special list and getting these special emails, and they're still on the big list, and they're seeing that the emails you send to the big list are different.
Right.
And the offer may be different or whatever. Anytime you can pre-qualify people, the better.
And they've given you the permission to hit them more often.
They have.
Yeah.
But the other thing, I'll tell you the other thing that doing a pre-notification list will do for you, and I've done this in other markets. I won't mention the markets because I don't want people to – this is one I'm thinking of is one I don't want people to – publicly know about. It's just how I am with some of my businesses.
Mm-hmm.
because it's so competitive online. But one of them, I did some market testing in a market. I didn't even have the product done, and I started driving traffic to like an opt-in page and started giving some content and started teasing people about a product that I planned to release in the near future. But I hadn't even created it yet. But I tried sending people to kind of like a waiting list, pre-notification type list. And the reason I did that, it wasn't because I was smart enough at that time to think about doing things as an event until you taught me how to do that. But what's funny is it has a double benefit of doing it anyways, as I learned later. The reason why I did that was just to gauge the response to see if I went and put in the work, if I'd sell anything.
Mm-hmm.
So doing the pre-notification type thing, even a month out from when you do your launch, is great, especially if you're still in the product development phase, because nothing will motivate you more to get that stinking product finished than knowing you've got all these people ready to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So in my case, you know, I had hundreds of people on this little waiting list saying, raising their hands, saying, if you release this, I'll buy it, or I'm very, very interested in buying it. And that just, I just said, wow, I got to get off my butt and make this product. And I did, and I released it, and that particular product turned into a, you know, didn't quite do $1 million in a year. Did about 700,000 in sales.
Oh, John,
you
got to get on it
for the next year. I know, but very, very successful. And that one product, it's you know, it's only about 4 years old, but it's done pretty well. It's, you know, it's made in the seven figure range. So
still going strong.
But I never would have done it if I didn't try to sublist those people just to gauge interest. So that's one, again, you know, like we talked about before, and people waiting too long to become, you know, have that perfect product or anything else.
Right.
Send the teaser out there, man. Get that waiting list going. And when you see people on that raising their hand saying, I can't wait to buy this thing, or I am definitely interested in buying, signing up for your workshop or your teleseminar series or your course or whatever it is, your software product, whatever it is, when you see that happen, that you're not, there's no greater motivation for you to get to work to finish the product.
Mm-hmm.
And with that said, you obviously don't want to do it a week before a supposed launch when the product isn't done.
Right.
That's not what I'm suggesting. But you can certainly do it 4 to 6 weeks out if it's not going to take you that long to actually finish your product.
So that's the end of the second part of our interview with John Reese. You still have an entire disc to go. John's going to reveal some killer stuff on that disc, including how to give away a portion of your product in free advanced reports and how that really can sell your product once you launch. He also is going to share where all the money is left on the table, the place where people are really making a mistake and sub-optimizing their launch. He's also going to talk about turning your launch into an ongoing business so you just don't have a one-hit moneymaker here. And of course, his favorite topic he's going to get to is testing and tracking. He's actually going to reveal what turned him on initially to testing and tracking and his sort of hard luck story that made him a convert. And that's just a portion of what's going to be on that third disc. So go ahead, grab that disc, pop it in your player, and get ready for some more fantastic insights.